first delivery in December will have 8 dolls, according to Neiman Marcus. Then every month for a year, they will bring a new doll. And then the final doll...
Mm-hmm. Is a person. It's a person from an underdeveloped country who's just very small and will do your wishes in the dollhouse. Someone who can fit in the dollhouse. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
All right, so happy holidays. The season is upon us, and yes. We're talking about Christmas. We might mention Hanukkah, although it's early this year.
Yeah, happy holidays, everyone. Happy holidays. So no matter what you're celebrating, Christmas, Hanukkah, yep. Kwanzaa.
Or if you're fighting the war on Kwanzaa.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Or just your winter solstice.
Yeah.
Enjoy it and
whatever.
Have fun. This is the season, so let's talk about
it. Get a couple days off. All right, so Katie, I'm going to let Katie kick off with the reason for the season. Gifts.
Yes.
Luxury
yes.
gifts.
Well, look, we don't want, you know, who wants a big ball of crap wrapped up in wrapping paper and no. given to you? Nobody.
I would just like to see the woman who gets the car.
Yeah.
They do those commercials every year. I've never known anyone who's gotten the car. You're in the suburbs. Do people do that for real? Do they put a big bow on like an SUV?
I've never seen it happen. I've never heard of it happening.
Okay.
But I did see some ass with her picture, like, in the dealership. Like, look what I'm getting for myself for the holidays. I'm like, good.
Great. You got a car. So, luxury gifts.
So, luxury gifts, because nobody wants garbage.
No, no one wants garbage.
Okay.
No one wants, like, socks.
So, for a mere $9,000, you can buy a Tiffany ball of yarn.
Are you kidding me?
Yes.
Get two. Is it made of silver?
It's sterling silver.
What are you supposed to do with it? Chuck it at someone's head?
Only 5 are available for sale, each crafted in New York. Perfect luxury gift for the sewing enthusiast or someone who appreciates the art of fashion. Or if you like cats. Or if you want to tease your cat.
I guess. I feel that cat's going to be in for a nasty surprise when he tries to bat it with his little cat fist.
Yeah.
You know? And injures himself.
And a little cat paw splint.
Yeah.
Like after that, that's really mean.
How big was it? How big is this thing for
I think it's like the size of your fist.
It's New York. It might be the size of like a walnut.
Yeah.
It might be like a miniature.
But only 5, so better run to Tiffany, everybody.
Yeah, yeah. Get 2.
Yes. All right, the next are the Madame Alexander dolls.
Excuse me?
Neiman Marcus.
This is a family show.
And now, this is what's happening. This is like, sounds like a nightmare to me. Neiman Marcus has the most imaginative gift this year, perfect for the daughter in the family
or your
inner child.
Who would ever come up with that idea?
Oh, no, it's a year-long supply of dolls.
Of evil dolls?
Well, only you can make them evil,
yeah.
I guess, or they can make them evil.
They come evil.
For $8,000, you get a massive dollhouse, and then the first delivery in December will have 8 dolls, according to Neiman Marcus. Then every month for a year, they will bring a new doll. And then the final doll
is a person. It's a person from an underdeveloped country who's just very small and will do your wishes in the dollhouse. Someone who can fit in the dollhouse.
Well, it's actually personalized for the recipient.
No, that's the evil doll.
Yes.
This is like a Tales from Der Campfire. Like, this girl's hat, this little asshole girl is getting, like, the stuff all year. And the final doll, it looks like her. And then,
and
poof, she's gone.
Yes, and it takes over.
And the parents are like, this is even better.
Yeah.
And scene.
And now you'll never age.
How much are they?
This is $8,999.
I mean, I guess that's not bad. So you're getting 8, you get a dollhouse.
Eight dolls to start you off. And then one every month.
It's like QVC.
Yeah.
Start you off with 8. Then you add on. It's like charms.
Yeah.
And then, so 20 dolls.
Yeah.
Wow.
And a dollhouse.
I mean, if you're super rich, I guess that's not bad. There are probably rich people who are like, oh my God, that's nothing.
And then the dolls form a coven.
Yeah.
Yes. And put a spell on everybody.
Wow.
And then their spirits can, the spirits come out of the doll and take over your family.
I can see people feel like, why is there a pentagram in the little carpet and linoleum in this dollhouse?
Oh, you don't see anything.
Yeah,
no.
Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see. All right, the next one is your automatic coffee center.
Please tell me that this is also $9,000.
This is $3,000.
Okay.
But it's, the machine makes as many as 28 beverages, including lattes, cappuccinos, and macchiatos, and can brew an entire pot of coffee in under 2.5 minutes.
Is that amazing?
Who cares?
Yeah.
I mean, who needs a pot of coffee in 2.5 minutes?
But you've seen my coffee maker. I don't remember when I've made coffee for you when you come over. I made a full pot. It didn't take like that long. Like, were you upset?
I wasn't on the floor crying and scratching,
rolling
the floor.
Around. Just give me a bean to suck on. I don't care. I can't take it.
Yeah,
I can't wait.
Give me a bean, just a bean. Yeah. No.
Can I just smell it? No.
No.
$3,000. Okay. I don't understand the. So I have a basic coffee maker, but I also have one of those little Italian ones that just goes on top of the stove. I think that's the best coffee maker.
Yeah.
It works.
I have one that makes a cup.
Yeah.
And it makes a lot of noise. I bought it for $10.
It still works, though. You still have your coffee.
I still have my coffee in the morning. The next gift is the Townie Commute Go Bike.
The Townie? Was it come with, like, local redneck?
Yeah.
He was angry. I bet you have a college degree.
Mm-mm. Have you ever heard of e-bikes? They're battery-powered vehicles. Perfect for someone who wants to skirt around town, but doesn't want to sweat.
Doesn't like spend any energy. Right. I ride my bike. I don't sweat on it. I do it at a leisurely pace. That's why we have gears.
Yeah.
You know?
So it has pedal assist that can be customized with all sorts of accessories. Eggs, cup holders, a sunflower for the handlebars.
Eggs?
No, eggs. Bags.
Oh, bags.
Did I say eggs?
No, I heard eggs. And I'm like, how does that work? I guess I'm just too poor to understand.
A bike with the necessary dozen eggs.
Yeah, that comes with it.
Like every job.
Yeah, organic eggs. Okay.
They go up to 20 miles per hour.
That's too fast.
And one charge can get you 100 miles depending on the terrain.
That's too fast for me
on my
bike.
It's too fast and it's too long. And I have a theory about people on bicycles. The worst part of your humanity comes out when you're on a bike. In urban areas.
Yeah.
You think that it's like because you're faster than on foot, but you feel like you're a car, but you're not.
Yeah, you don't have any protection. I'm a low level bike rider. I just ride around my little neighborhood.
Yeah.
If I see a car, I pull over and walk. So that's not bad, I guess.
Yeah. So those are luxury gifts. But every year there's a hot gift. What's the hot gift for the kids?
I tried to find out. I had no idea.
Well, last year it was the Hatchimals.
What?
It's like a
Tamagotchi kind of thing?
It's like they're little animatronic creatures that actually hatch from their own egg.
Mm-hmm. That shit's already in the landfill, probably.
Right. So now this year, there are twins that come out.
Wow. Whoever came up with that idea? Or for Republicans, it doesn't come out, but you still have to pretend like it's a human being and take care of it.
It has citizenship.
Yeah, it has rights.
Yeah.
You don't. You don't.
Yeah. And then another little weird gift is fingerlings for the kids. They're little robot monkeys that hug your finger and react to sound and movement. I don't like
that. That doesn't sound really that cool at all. I like finger puppets. Those are cool, like little crochet puppets.
Yeah, because you put personality. Yeah. These things are like
they attach to your hand. Can you get them off? Or is it like the beginning of a cyborg?
Oh, no. No, that's it.
It comes off when it feels like it.
Yeah, and it takes your hand with it. And then there's
creepy unicorn
ones, too. But
no, thanks. No. I feel like those are not going to be used by children, and they're going to come to a bad end.
Yeah.
They're going to come to a bad end.
Because nobody knows how a unicorn really behaves.
No.
Everyone thinks that they're fun. Maybe they're not.
Maybe they're monstrous.
Yeah.
Maybe that horn is bad news. And maybe it's sharp.
Yeah.
You know?
And you put it on your finger? No. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no thanks. Some kid's going to poke another kid's eye out. We're going to hear about that pretty soon. It was a unicorn. It wasn't me. All right, so I have the war on Christmas is apparently still happening.
Oh, my gosh. Is it in our military budget?
Yes. These are some people who are... This is the war on Christmas.
Okay.
So these are five things. It says... I found this article in the alternate. It says, 5 ways the hard right is fighting a fake war on Christmas. What? I love the term the hard right. There's like a new term for them every couple
Make
months.
Make a hard right.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Keep Christ in Christmas.
So apparently... Yeah, this is a keep Christ in Christmas. I didn't know he was out and just running around the other holidays.
Quick.
Let's get him back into Christmas.
Shut the lid.
Yeah, shut the lid. So apparently Bill O'Reilly,
when
he's not harassing people and then paying them not to say anybody, he, with his friend Trump, who also harassing women, paying them not to say anything, they're promising that we're going to be saying Merry Christmas again. I didn't know we'd stop saying it. I've been saying it.
I've been saying it too.
I had no
idea. Should we not say it?
No, apparently we should say it harder. Because I guess there was an idea out there that people weren't saying it or you weren't allowed to say it. Yeah. I don't celebrate Christmas, but if I suspect someone does, then I say Merry Christmas. And on Christmas Day, I usually say it anyway.
It's like 4th of July, Happy 4th.
Frequently I'm saying it to someone who, like me, also doesn't celebrate it, but we don't care.
It's the spirit.
Yeah, it's the spirit of it. Whatever.
All right.
So there's apparently the American Family Association, which and their mission is combating the gay agenda. Good luck with that one.
Yeah.
Good luck. They've created some wristbands that you can wear that say "Keep Christ in Christmas." And because they don't want people to say happy holidays. And they say you wear the little band and then it's supposed to be a great conversation starter.
For a horrible argument, not yes. a conversation.
Why don't you just wear a bracelet that says Merry Christmas?
Yeah.
Or Happy Holidays. Like, why don't you show people how cool you are, your group is, and how cool your holiday is?
Yeah, just...
And people will be into it. I don't think anyone really has a problem with Christmas anyway, but whatever. This is the war on the war on Christmas. There's also a group out there called American Nativity Scene. And what they do... is they go around and they try to get nativity scenes put up at state capitals. That's their fight. Whatever, man. Really? Well,
because you're not supposed to have a religious thing on
I get
state
it, but like this property. Is really that's your protest? You're going to put it up, someone's going to take it down.
And that's it.
And that's it. Why don't you just put it up at your place?
Yeah.
Put it up in front of a church. I don't know. That's a crazy
right.
idea.
Right.
Put it up in front of your house. You know, whatever. Also, they've been boycotting children's books.
Really?
Yes.
That's
including a satirical one, a parody. Mm-hmm. It's not for children. I don't know if they probably didn't realize that, though, because no sense of humor. It's it's called Santa's Husband. It's a fresh twist on Kris Kringle about a black Santa and his white husband and their life in the North Pole.
Oh, right. That's
it's
nice.
It's a parody. But apparently people were really, really upset about it, and they tried to start a lawsuit against this guy for defamation of character.
Okay.
Because he's defaming Santa's character.
Who doesn't exist.
And they also said that this guy's trying to rewrite history. Because it goes against, I guess, the true fake history of Santa Claus. This is what they allege. They also said that they're upset that they characterize Santa as black.
Yeah, because that's terrible.
Why is that such a big deal for people?
Oh my God.
It's just the guy in the mall. Whatever. Kids don't even think about stuff like that. Why would you care? You need that man to hear what you're saying
okay.
so you can get your present.
It's okay for a white man to come down your chimney
yes,
when it's a black man.
Or an Asian guy.
Yeah.
Or whatever. But literally, really? I think as a kid, you're like, I just need him to hear what I want.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's a chick.
Yeah. Just somebody.
Somebody.
Give me something.
Get me a toy. And then apparently there's a film that came out called Let There Be Light with Kevin Sorbo. Who's from Hercules.
Oh, yeah, he's a cutie pie.
Oh, yeah, he's apparently a huge racist.
Oh, is he?
I know. It's the worst. It's like with all these people harassing people, you find like, I grab ass, huh?
Oh.
Yeah, I know. So apparently it's a kind of a film out there. It's been called melodramatic, unevenly acted, and pious xenophobic fun. Trying to, like, put, I guess, Christ back in Christmas and scare the shit out of everybody. So that's the war on Christmas. Oh, there's one more thing.
The battle
for Christmas. They also have a naughty and nice list of stores that if you're not pushing Christmas enough, you're on the naughty list.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, the American Family Association. And you're supposed to, you can go to their site, I guess, and you can rat out stores that aren't Christmassy enough.
On a scale of what?
I don't know. Or from heathen to evangelical. I don't know. I have no idea. What do you have to have? Like, all Christmas all the time? Or, you know, I wonder if they're going to stores of other faiths and being
they,
like, look.
Do they say, we rate you from 1 to 5 Christmas light bulbs?
No, it's just naughty or nice. There's no in between.
Oh,
very
so
black
you,
and white for them.
Okay.
Yeah. It says they claim that they began to notice that people wanted to celebrate Christmas, and those people were told to sit down and be quiet. I don't know where this happened.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen someone try to celebrate Christmas and someone just run at me like, you know what, you need to sit down right now and hush up.
You don't do Christmas right.
Yeah. Sit down. So they have the naughty and nice list. That's the war on Christmas. There hasn't really been a war on Kwanzaa yet, but I'd like to know about that. If that's happening, let me know. I don't know what we would do for that.
I don't know.
Since I don't really do anything anyway. Snuff out candles? I don't know. I have no idea.
Have you seen the woman that was in, I guess, Walmart or something, and she found a fuzzy tree skirt? A fur tree skirt. So she put it on as a cape.
Okay.
And then...
That's right there. That is. She's the first soldier. In the war on Christmas.
Yeah.
Misusing a tree skirt is definitely naughty.
Yeah, so she had a video posted. Everyone's talking about it, like, oh my God. And she's like, yeah, look, it could be a cape. And she goes on about it.
Really?
And people are like, oh my God, she's using a tree skirt as a cape.
Yeah. That's not that revolutionary, is it?
No.
Oh, jeez. Fabric work, people.
They got the four R's. Rehearse, record, rinse, or repair.
To all that was 40th Street. Hashtag Bumpline NYC.
All right, what do you have?
Okay, hey, you know,
it.
Why do we let kids sit on Santa's lap?
I want to know. I never liked it. We were talking about this a little bit before. I always thought it was weird, especially growing up and being an African-American young girl. I was not really that close to a lot of old white dudes, and I was creeped out by it.
Yeah, I bet. I never really did it as a kid very much. We were never taken to see Santa.
It happened at the mall. Like, we're at the mall doing something, and it's like, hey, look, there's Santa. It's like,
I didn't want to sit on the line. I was just like, I don't need this. I don't do lines. Yeah.
Let me know when it's my turn.
So the tradition doesn't have an exact origin, but according to history.com, in 1841, thousands of children headed to Philadelphia store to see a life-size model of Santa Claus.
And their feet were exhausted. If they could just have sat down for a second on a lap.
Yeah, getting stores to believe that if they could offer shoppers a peek at the real-life Santa Claus, they would get even more shopping traffic.
Oh, so. Everything is just advertisement with this.
Right.
That's the war.
So...
fight that.
The first store Santa, his name was James Edgar. Mm-hmm. He donned the infamous Santa suit in 1890 in his own store to make the children shopping happy. He considered it the very first department store Santa Claus.
I wonder if he had a few before. I was like, my God.
So there's not a lot of information about how come they get on their laps.
Mm-hmm. Maybe one just scrambled up there, and then everyone else was like, I'm going.
Yeah. Apparently, well, why is it a thing? Yeah, the children, I guess they started just climbing up on the lap, and then everyone was like, what's the harm?
So why not? Yeah. But now, when did the pictures coming in and with the elves and all this kind of stuff?
Yeah, so the kids jumped up there and then they started telling. He's like, what do you want for Christmas? Because what's he going to say?
Yeah.
Who are you?
Hey, how you doing? You guys come here a lot?
Yeah.
What kind of stuff do you buy?
Yeah.
Mom looks all right.
Yeah, so they were excited about the toys that Santa would bring and about meeting him. So they jumped up there and that just turned out to be a thing. But nowadays, it's not... people are not letting kids sit on a strange man's lap.
Even in public like that?
Yes.
Oh, come on.
Yes, like parenting, like these different parenting groups are like, don't sit on Santa. Don't let your kids sit.
More than not, I mean, if it's in a big mall or place, I guarantee you that person is screened. Do you know what I mean? There's people there. Like, what's he going to do?
Yeah. They say that it's perpetuating rape culture.
By sitting on a lap?
To force your child into physical contact with, for all intents and purposes, a stranger.
Well, if they don't, this is what I'm saying, if they don't want to do it, fine.
Yeah, but the kids are crying.
I'm pretty sure some of my friends' kids want to.
Yeah.
They're excited to have their picture taken with Santa.
Yeah, because there's a lot of kids that cry, and the parents make them stay there. It's like, no, if they're crying, take them away.
Just, I don't know if that's specifically a part of rape culture, but I think there's a coerciveness to forcing children to, like, pose. And do stuff for your amusement.
They're saying yes, but the magic word is let and not force.
Yeah.
You know, if there's a big difference between confusing the two and what perpetuates rape culture, but denying your kid the chance, if they really want to, that's not cool.
Yeah. So which way do we go with this, America?
Yeah, which way, America?
Do you just lock your kid in a room at home?
Yeah, this is my country and I want to know which way do you go? So that's it. As a teenager... my friend and I at the mall decided to go and sit on Santa's lap. But we couldn't both sit on his lap.
Much to his chagrin, I'm sure.
So he put his arm around us, and we kind of sat on the arms of the chair.
Okay.
And then when it was time to snap the picture, he pulled us really close to him, and his face was between our boobs.
There's your rape culture.
Yeah. So he did that, like, at the last second. It was like,
gotcha.
Oh, isn't that nice? And we're, you know, just sitting very... comfortably away from his face, and suddenly, boom!
Wow. I'm imagining there are some places, probably, where there's a very sexy Santa that's many, many women want to sit on their lap.
Yes.
I'm sure.
I hope so.
I hope so, too. So this was something I saw in the internet, talking about the outrage around Christmas, and then Katie came up with a good word. What was it? the
snack religious.
Yes, that is snack religious. It says Asda, which is a store in the UK and I think throughout Europe as well. They have unveiled a Christmas pizza dinner, and apparently people are upset about this. Yeah. I don't know why.
Because it's snack religious.
It's snack religious. Duh. It says, who doesn't love Christmas dinner? It says crispy roast potatoes, Brussels sprouts. That's not in my Christmas dinner.
No.
Ever. And, of course, turkey. Again, that's not in my Christmas dinner. Could magically appear without hours spent sweating over a hot stove in an overcrowded kitchen. So one UK supermarket has a solution. It's a Christmas pizza. It's 20 minutes preparation, mm-hmm. and it costs £2.60. So that's like, what, $4 or something mm-hmm. like that? It's a festive combo. It's a cheese pizza with all the trimmings, including roast potatoes.
Oh.
Now, this is why I think people are getting upset when you hear what's on it. This is the snack religious aspect of it. Roast potatoes, sprouts, smothered in cranberry sauce.
Doesn't Does that, sound good.
That doesn't sound good at all.
It just sounds unappetizing. It's not. It's not.
So
insulting my religion.
And then also roast chicken, not turkey.
Okay.
But that's weird to me. So roast potatoes, the Brussels sprouts, mm-hmm. the chicken bits, I guess, because it's like a frozen pizza smothered in cranberry sauce.
Doesn't sound good.
No,
that's all.
It doesn't sound that good. Yeah, people were upset about it. It says also put down the Christmas sandwich. I don't know what that is. I've never had a Christmas sandwich.
Me either.
I mean, that's not really what I do.
But they're saying a Christmas sandwich is better?
Well, they're saying, you know, instead of your Christmas sandwich, have the Christmas pizza. So I'm assuming the Christmas sandwich is the same thing. It's like probably turkey, roast potatoes, sprout. And by the way, if you're having a potato on your sandwich, you got a problem.
Yeah, no kidding.
Like you, one or the other, dude. Like bread or the potato. And then the cranberry sauce. Yeah. I was thinking for a Christmas pizza, it would be something that looked like a tree.
Yeah, right.
And something in the shape of a tree, and maybe they're instead of bulbs, they're pepperoni or something like that.
Right.
And then maybe add like one Christmas element to it. I don't know what that would be.
Yeah, something green.
Yeah, something green, something red. I mean, that's kind of already on a pizza though, right?
Green and red.
I don't know. So the Christmas pizza. Controversy.
Probably red bell peppers and broccoli.
Yeah, and then make it look like, you know, a decorated tree or something like that. All right, what do you have?
You know, the Elf on the Shelf.
No.
You don't know about the Elf on the Shelf?
No.
This is a horribly pumpkin spice inspired Christmas fad that started in 2005. Apparently some woman wrote a kid's book about the elf that Santa dispatches to your house that is going to watch to see if you're naughty or nice.
Okay.
And the elf sits on the shelf and watches. And
that's creepy.
Yeah. So it's this little guy, and he...
Do you buy an elf?
It comes with a book.
Okay.
So you have the elf. You read the story to the kids about this elf and how he's...
And how he's going to be watching your every move.
Right.
And then you put him up on the shelf.
Yeah, but the thing is that at
Do his
night,
eyes follow you around the room? That would be mine. Hey, kids, freak him out.
But when the kids go to sleep, then the parents move them into another position.
That's
so
creepy.
So it lets the kids, leads them to believe the elf is walking around tonight.
Or that this doll has come alive. Is hungry for blood.
Right.
Child blood.
And of course, some people, you know, put it in, you know, different positions and stuff. And they, you know, obscene things with the elf.
The elf on the shelf. Okay.
But what is an... Oh, by the way, the elf that they have, like, people apparently have never seen these kind of elves before. I remember seeing this elf, this particular spec for the elf. This elf has been produced years and years and years ago.
So, like, when we were kids.
Yeah, my grandparents had one.
Oh.
You know? And when I was a little girl, I saw this elf. And everyone thinks this is new. So it's not new, everybody.
Yeah, it's old.
It's an old elf. Old
on the shelf. Old as elf on the shelf.
But nobody made it move around.
Mm-mm.
But it was my favorite thing as a kid to place the elf on the shelf.
I think that's kind of weird because I distinctly remember as a child, you know, when you put something somewhere as a child, you expect that thing to be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
In the same, like if your toys are moving around, that's creepy for a kid.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So lay it on me.
Yeah. So what is an elf? You know.
I don't know. Is it a mythical creature?
Yeah. It's this Christmassy little creature who once stood side by side with Norse gods and took the blame for inexplicable illnesses in medieval Europe.
I mean, side by side, but like by their feet, right?
Because
it's small.
Right. The elves also played a role in Lord of the Rings.
Okay. Those are big elves.
Yes. But according to ancient Norse mythology, The word elf means hidden folk.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yes, yes, yes. They're known as little people, perhaps wearing stocking caps and cavorting with fairies.
Mm-hmm. Cavorting.
Yeah, but they, again, they were, but they're really not that whimsical. Again, they were side by side with the Norse gods. Mm-hmm. Some people believe they're actually a group of gods themselves associated with fertility. Hmm. Yeah, and so they basically live in Iceland's eerie volcanic areas. That's where mm-hmm. they come from, and that's where they live.
Do they have special powers?
No, they're actually, they're just associated with fertility or misfortune.
Okay, so they're strong genes.
Yeah, they're hidden people.
Okay.
And they do little magic stuff.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, and some races believe they're evil and that they're demons, actually, and they come out and they cause harm.
I've never heard that before. I've always had a positive connotation with elves.
Yeah.
I think they're slender.
Yes.
You know.
But I think that different different countries and different, people in different times have different ideas.
About what the elf is.
Yeah, that it's either evil or good or the different set of powers that they have.
I wonder
and their look, too. Some of them are more troll-like.
Okay.
Some of them are more slender.
That's what I was going to say. Like, so maybe the elf is like a catch-all term, mm-hmm. and then within the elven realm,
right.
as it were, throughout time and space, you have different permutations of the elf.
A lot. They just have a lot to do with fertility, which was a big surprise.
I've never heard that before.
They could deliver babies safely through a difficult labor, or they could steal a human baby away and replace it with a sickly and deformed changeling.
Either one, you know.
A changeling.
Sometimes they help, sometimes they don't help.
Cause nightmares. Mm-hmm. And or other scary experiences such as sleep paralysis.
Ugh. Wow. God,
yeah.
That's fascinating.
You know, and Puck from A Midsummer Night's Dream was supposed to be an elf, too.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the shelf elf business, mm-hmm. completely different.
Yeah.
What does the elf on the shelf do? Oh, he watches and reports back to Santa Claus.
He reports back to Santa. No. Oh, yeah, exactly. He reports back to Santa, mm-hmm. who's naughty or who's nice. So that's why the kids are like, all right, I'm going
to
behave.
How do we get from these type of elves who seem like free folk to the enslaved elves in the North Pole?
That's exactly.
Who are forced to make toys.
Right. So
at low wages.
So our modern take on the elf came from the poem, A Visit from St. Nicholas, better known as The Night Before Christmas.
Okay.
That's from 1823. Mm-hmm. It refers to Santa as a jolly old elf. Mm-hmm. So he's an elf
as well, and then all of his underlings are also elves.
Yes,
I totally forgot about that.
So people writers got creative with the idea, and in 1857, Harper's Weekly published a poem called "The Wonders of Santa Claus." And how Santa keeps a great many elves at work. He working with all their might to make millions of pretty things. Cakes, sugar plums, and toys to fill the stockings hung up, for the little girls and boys.
I'm amazed. I think poetry in a popular magazine doesn't have that kind of sway anymore.
No, it doesn't.
And I think it would be interesting if we, instead of the Coca-Cola Santa Claus that we have now, mm-hmm. if we had this elven Santa Claus.
Yeah.
I wonder what he would look like.
Yeah.
Because we can forget about the red... Mm-hmm. The jolliness of the stomach, the big belt buckle, the boots, mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so that was in 1857. And in 1922, Norman Rockwell painted...
Mm-hmm. Really the worst painter ever.
Yeah, oh, God.
So really. Terrible. I remember as a kid being shown that. So I'm in a very rural area and people are showing me, this is this great artist. And I'm like, is this what... people are all going crazy about. This is terrible.
Yeah. Well, he painted one about it, showing an exhausted Santa surrounded by tiny industrious elves trying to get a dollhouse finished in time for Christmas.
And so that took off.
Yeah.
And I like the idea of Santa as an elf because now the reindeer makes sense, right? Because reindeer are from Northern Europe.
Yeah.
In the Lapland area. This elven mythology is from that area as well. Mm-hmm. It makes sense that elves would... work with reindeer to, move things around. It doesn't make sense that this fat dude, dressed in red with the belt buckle and the beard, would have anything to do with elves or would be at the North Pole.
Yes. Then in 1932, there was a Disney movie called Santa's Workshop where the elves are going through the naughty and nice list.
Mm-hmm. I think I've seen that.
All right. So that's it. And then fast forward to 1964 for Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, where Hermie the Misfit Elf.
Oh, yeah. That's the cartoon that we grew up with, that weird animation.
Yes. That. So.
And Mr. Heatmeister.
Right. And then the latest one was the 2003 movie Elf with Will Ferrell.
Okay, which I can't deal with. I only like Will Ferrell when he's doing independent stuff.
Yeah.
I have not seen Elf. I find it quite embarrassing to watch him behave in that manner. But I've heard it's a good movie.
Yes. So that's the evolution of the elf, where it came from and what they are. But I had no idea they were really associated with fertility.
Me either. I had no idea that Santa was really an elf. People, you're learning stuff here.
You're listening to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be.
So as I like to do every year during the holiday season, I like to report on the Hallmark Channel's offerings for Christmas movies. They are always the best. I've never seen one of them. I cannot bring myself to watch Hallmark Channel, but I love the synopsis. So I'll just give you some of my favorite ones.
Let's lay it on us. Yeah, are your favorites?
You know the
so
tropes.
Far.
The tropes are usually like a career woman in her 30s who doesn't realize she needs love, right?
Okay, right.
There's always a single father.
Oh, a
single widower.
Who is like apparently gold standard.
Oh, yeah.
That's what
he's the best guy ever. If his wife, you know, his wife would come back and marry him again if she could. He's that amazing. And he usually has a daughter, never a son.
Always a daughter. And he's like, I don't even know how these things work.
Yeah, there's a guy who looks like he should be a Magic Mike, but he does some kind of blue-collar work usually. And then there's always...
Yeah, and he has no money, but you should fall in love with him because money doesn't matter.
But he has a nice house.
Yeah.
Because his entire family has been living in that town since time immemorial, so he's got that going on. Then there's also the trope of two people who hate each other have to work together, and they find love, and usually a puppy's involved. So,
right.
And I heard, too, there's a drinking game out there for the Hallmark TV movies.
Yay. Okay.
So these are some of my favorites. A Christmas Festival of Ice. Awaiting bar exam results, right? Career woman.
Okay.
Emma sets out to save her town's beloved ice sculpture contest with the help of a handsome local tree farmer.
Oh.
Second trope. As she revives the competition, she is reacquainted with a family tradition that sparks a new passion and maybe even a new love. Stars... Oh. Taylor Cole, Damon Runyon, and Wendy Crewson.
Oh, right.
I don't know who
Whoever
they are.
Good for them.
Miss Christmas. Nicknamed Miss Christmas, the official tree finder for Chicago's renowned Radcliffe tree lighting. All of this stuff is like in Chicago for some reason. She's left desperate to find the perfect tree. A letter from a young boy promising his tree is perfect sends her to a small town where she learns the young boy's dad isn't willing to part with his tree. By the way, his wife's dead.
Okay.
So she goes, she wants to chop down this dude's tree, and he's like, get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
While sparks fly, she'll be forced to confront what she's really been missing for Christmas. Dick.
Yeah.
Starring Brooke Dorsey, great name, and Mark Blucas.
Okay. Blucas.
Here's another one.
Because Lucas was taken.
It is Lucas. I didn't make this up.
Lucas was taken.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with Blucas.
Mark Blucas. There's also George Blucas. Not to be confused with George Lucas. Okay. Christmas under wraps. With a residency at a top hospital and a boyfriend she adores. So this woman has so much going on. By the next phrase, she has to lose everything. Right? Lauren... appears
of
to
course.
Have her entire life figured out.
Yeah.
But when she loses both her job and her beau on the same day, Lauren reluctantly accepts a residency position in Alaska. After slowly...
That's where all the guys are.
Oh, yeah. Well, all the criminals.
That's right. There's the highest count of rapists per capita in Alaska.
After slowly embracing her simple life up north, Lauren gets the position she originally hoped for and must choose between the life she always wanted... and her new life in Alaska. Stars Candace Cameron Bure, Brian Doyle Murray.
Oh, you're kidding.
Robert Pine. You know Robbie Pine.
Yeah.
He cray cray. And David O'Donnell. I'll give you a couple more. Most of these are white, but I found one that has a Latin flavor. And you can tell me if you see a little difference here. Enchanted Christmas. Weeks before Christmas, interior designer Laura, I put this spin on myself, is sent to her hometown in Santa Fe, New Mexico, to remodel a landmark hotel.
Why Santa Fe? That's so un-Christmassy.
As Laura is kept busy with her renovations, her 8-year-old daughter, Nicole, is introduced to the art of salsa dancing at a local dance studio. Because previously she had no idea about it. Laura is surprised to find that the studio's owner, Ricardo, her old high school sweetheart and former salsa dance partner. So this woman used to dance salsa but has hidden it from her daughter.
Don't ever.
Single mom, by the way. That rarely appears in a Hallmark film, but these people are Latino. When Laura and Ricardo reconnect, sparks fly on and off the dance floor. So they got to dance.
Oh, that's going to be awesome.
Because they're Hispanic. The beautiful Christmas traditions of New Mexico become a backdrop for a spirited dancing, an unexpected romance.
Romancing.
Yeah.
Dancing and romancing.
Starring Alexa Peña Vega and her husband, Carlos Peña Vega.
Oh, it's a real-life couple.
Yeah, it's a real-life corny couple.
Yes.
Here's another one. A Gift to Remember. This one's a little sinister.
Okay.
An accident between a sweet bookshop worker, and a handsome stranger leaves him without his memory.
Oh.
I don't know if she knocked him the fuck out. I think a ladder was probably involved. Some kind of, you know, Christmas book.
Yes, and his head. Like he fell off the ladder with the book in hand.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he doesn't remember where he is, but he's sexy. Determined to help him figure out who he is. Because the police couldn't do that.
None of his family could.
No family, no friends. She finds herself stepping outside of her comfort zone and into Dick. In the process, she discovers taking risks can sometimes lead to the greatest rewards.
Dick.
Right? Here's another one. With Love, Christmas. I forgot to tell you who was in A Gift to Remember. Starring Ali Liebert, Peter Port, and Tina Lifford.
Well, good for them.
Good for them.
Yeah.
This is great work for these people. They probably are working it's probably 2 weekends.
Yeah.
These things get shot. They're terrible. With Love, Christmas.
Okay.
Ad executive Melanie is teamed up with uptight coworker Donovan to come up with the ultimate Christmas commercial for a new cell phone. To complicate matters, Donovan is also Melanie's Secret Santa recipient. What do you mean to complicate matters? Is there a problem? This is their job. They're ad execs. Yeah. When Donovan mistakenly assumes another coworker is a Secret Santa, Melanie must work to show him that she's the only Santa for him.
Oh.
No other Santa.
Okay.
Starring Emily Ullerup and Aaron O'Connell. And then I'll give you one last one. This is actually, I said these other were my favorite. I say everything's my favorite. Okay. I'm the worst. But I really like this one. Romance at Reindeer Lodge.
Oh, I like the sound of that.
It doesn't even tell you who's in it.
Because there's animals
involved? Well, it's ensemble.
not in the sex part. Yeah. Just in the backdrop.
It's ensemble.
Okay.
This is Hallmark Channel.
Okay.
It's not Skinamax. A group of adults from different parts of the country have sworn off partaking in holiday events.
I hate Christmas.
Either that or they're Jewish.
All right.
Atheist, agnostic, Muslims, Hindus, whatever.
Well, they swore it off. Means once they did, and now.
They've given it up. Two of those people are Molly and Jared. Yeah. Upon arrival at their destination, they discover it's a Christmas-themed ranch. Mm-hmm. With no flight until after Christmas, the group ends up staying. The Christmas activities eventually melt everyone's cynical hearts.
Okay.
And Molly and Jared's love blossoms.
Aww.
This one I won't read, but it's called Christmas Getaway, and it's starring Bridget Regan and Travis Van Winkle.
That is
the best name ever.
That's the best name.
It's about a travel writer who's never had a traditional Christmas, and you can fill in the rest yourself. Okay. It's blue collar, his wife is dead.
All of that.
She realizes career isn't everything. She's getting old. She's looking in the mirror, those crow's feet.
Oh, God. Plus, staring right back at her.
Yeah, plus Jesus. So, there you go. So, if you are the kind of person who likes a cheesy holiday movie, seriously, Hallmark Channel has dozens of them.
Yeah.
Dozens of them.
Well, I think they should make another one called Ice for Christmas. And it's about this woman who's been dating her boyfriend for such a long time, and she thinks that she's going to get an engagement ring.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to propose.
She's
on Christmas
32.
Day. Yes.
What's her name?
Her Caitlin.
Okay. I like it.
Not Katie.
No, Caitlin.
Caitlin. And
with a C.
So she thinks she's going to get the engagement ring. Mm-hmm. She goes back to her hometown because that's where they were high school sweethearts. But there is an ice storm and her boyfriend is stuck at the hotel. But she was a track, a snowshoe expert.
Wait a minute.
And so she goes to the hotel to meet up with him and finds him in bed with somebody else. Right. So she gets mad and she hikes away like in a fury. She's trying to work it off.
Yeah.
And ends up getting lost in this ice storm. Mm-hmm. And finds herself in a cabin.
Okay.
But it's really a meth lab. What? Isn't that the other word for ice?
Yes.
Okay.
Sell it.
So they capture her.
Okay.
And they don't want her to leave. Mm-hmm. And tell the cops about it. So she's stuck there as a hostage. And they're trying to decide if they're going to kill her or not.
But does she fall in love with anyone?
Well, no. There is not there.
Does she escape by snowshoe?
A guy, this really hot guy in the mm-hmm. woods that's cutting down Christmas trees for extra money because he has no money. But
and
he's hot.
He's also a firefighter.
He's
volunteer.
Also a firefighter and a widower.
Yeah.
With one daughter.
One small daughter.
Happens
who
upon.
Would like a mom for Christmas.
Right. And looks in the window and sees that she's stuck there. So he grabs icicles off the house and comes in and just stabs all of the meth guys. Mm-hmm.
They're showing his prowess and saves her.
And then they fall in love.
I think that's good. What is it called? Ice?
Ice for Christmas. So we've got
ice levels. For Christmas, like, colon, an opioid tale of love.
Yes.
I like that one. I don't know if Hallmark would take it,
I don't know if they would. Well, they could tweak it.
It's not bad.
She could just snowshoe off in the huff and then get stuck in a shack.
Yeah, because, you know, as a woman, once you try to get independent, like, you know, you get lost.
Right.
In this case, literally.
Yeah.
And you need a man to come and save you.
You're right.
That is awesome. I like it.
Right. Thank you.
All right. So I also want to say, for those of you who may not be celebrating any of the holidays, mm-hmm. December 25th is also Grab Mass Day. It's the unofficial mm-hmm. holiday celebrated. It celebrates
Grab
the
Mass Day, not Grab Ass Day.
Not Grab Ass Day. This isn't Congress. Grab Mass Day is an unofficial holiday celebrated annually on December 25th and celebrates the birth of English physicist and mathematician Isaac Newton.
Nice.
A play on Christmas. The holiday is a celebration of science and reason. It is also considered to be a secular alternative. Grav mass refers to the gravitational constant and mass, two key components of Newton's law of universal gravitation. And there's also some science fiction stuff. It's also called, there's a similar holiday called Newton Mass, first celebrated in 1890, 248 years after Newton's birth. The war on Christmas started early, people.
Wow.
By members of the Newton Association, who, I guess, want to make sure that people remember Newton. Who's going to forget?
Nobody's going to forget.
These fans of Newton met for the first time at the Imperial College and spent Christmas Day exchanging their ideas and thoughts about Newton's work and theories. That sounds actually mm-hmm. kind of fun. Sir Isaac Newton is one of the most significant scientists of all times, responsible for formulating laws of motion and gravity, along with Gottfried Leibniz, who I did not know. This is the guy who gets short shrift. We should celebrate Leibniz Day.
Yes.
Instead of Christmas Eve?
Yeah.
You could do Leibniz Eve.
Leibniz Eve.
Yeah. He is credited for inventing the field of calculus. In addition, Newton worked in optics and alchemy. That I knew. Mm. Those poor guys with the alchemy.
I know. They were trying to find a shortcut.
They were really trying so hard.
They were like, look, we gotta make this happen.
People are still working on it. Yeah. People are still trying to, you know, spin gold out of wheat or whatever. I don't know.
a bunch of Rumpelstiltskins, right?
It's going to happen. How to celebrate? Well, you can celebrate the life and times of Sir Isaac Newton by sharing scientific ideas and discoveries. You could decorate your Christmas tree with apples.
Oh.
And you could make science and physics-related parodies of Christmas carols and sing them. I don't know.
I don't know how to do that.
The 12, like, I don't know. I can't even think of anything. I don't have any science, like, bits that I can just roll off like that. You know, plutonium. I don't know. Like, what could it be?
Yeah.
I don't know. You're
looking at the wrong person.
You can greet
come
people.
Come up with a song about science.
You can greet people by saying, Merry Gravmas to you. Oh, they're going to be angry.
Yeah.
The American Family Association. May the force be proportional to your acceleration.
Yeah, all right.
I like that. And you can send a Gravmas Day greeting card that say, Reasons Greetings. to you all.
I like that.
I like that. So, on that note, do you have any plans for the Christmas holiday? Kwanzaa, Hanukkah?
Well, I'll probably see the nieces and nephews.
Oh, cool.
My nephew, I found out, doesn't like Santa Claus.
Oh, nothing wrong with that.
He doesn't like the idea of somebody coming into the house at night while they're asleep.
It's a home invasion.
Yeah. Since he was a little tiny kid, he got very nervous about it, was very scared on Christmas.
Do they have a chimney?
No, because they don't have a chimney, so they say he comes in through the basement.
Why are people telling their children this?
Through the hot water heater.
That's frightening.
Yes.
I didn't have a chimney growing up, and I was like, how does Santa get in? They were typical black men, like, don't worry about it. He gets in, he gets out. How does he go around the world in one night?
It's,
who knows?
It's magic.
It's magic.
Yeah. It's like, all right.
I think that I will do what I usually do, which is watch a bunch of science fiction movies. I'll probably watch Rogue One this year, and then I know it's long.
It's awful.
But I think there's a new Star Wars movie coming out. Whatever movie comes out on Christmas Day, I usually go see
all right,
it. We do the dinner and a movie kind of thing.
Okay.
So I think that'll be my plan. But for all of you who are out there who are celebrating the holidays, good luck.
Yes, good luck. And
May the force be proportional
to your acceleration.
To your acceleration.
Yes. Over the ground lies a mantle
of white. Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks. Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight, we're having tonight. Walking in a winter wonderland. Gone away is the bluebird. Here to stay is the new bird. He sings a love song as we go along. And I just saw a bunch of drunk Santas trying to use the ATM one year, and it was like, the struggle was real. It was everything from Midvale School for the Gifted, someone pushing on the pull, to just struggling to, find the wallet and all of that.
Oh, God.
You know, ho-ho-ho-ness. All right. This guy.